Hi, welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your host, Mark Day. Today we continue taking a look at Psalm 2. We'll focus in on verses 7 through 12, but I'll read the whole psalm to you. Last time we considered the first six verses of this 12-verse psalm, but I'll read the whole passage for the sake of those who were not with us last time. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." You probably remember from last time that this psalm starts out with David's observation that the kings of the earth rage against the Lord and plot against the Lord. But of course, all their plotting and all their raging is in vain. Meanwhile, God sits enthroned in heaven in confident authority and complete peace. In verses 7 through 9, we learn of God the Son, the Messiah. God the Father has promised the Son complete victory over the nations, which means that one day the Son, the Messiah, will rule over all the kingdoms of the world. You remember that in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, we read of Satan's tempting Jesus. In the wilderness, Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if only Jesus would worship him, worship Satan. But Jesus refused. In verse 9, the inspired psalmist writes that the Son, God's Son, will break his enemies with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. In the ancient world, before going to battle, kings would participate in a ritual of breaking clay jars that symbolized the enemy army and guaranteed their defeat. But Jesus does not need to take part in such rituals. Jesus, the Messiah, will smash his enemies completely. Jesus is God. Jesus is King. Jesus is conqueror. In verses 10 through 12, the kings of the earth are warned. They are called to grasp hold of the true wisdom that is made available to them through the King of Kings, that is, Jesus. In view of the Son's victorious defeat over those who scoff at him, in view of God's ultimate and final judgment against his enemies, the wise thing for people to do is to surrender to Christ and trust him. Today, God is calling on people of all nations to repent and turn to the Savior, Jesus Christ. God is calling kings, rulers, and all those in earthly authority, as well as common people of all nations, to repent of belittling Jesus, to repent of making little of Jesus, to repent of making excuses for not following him, to repent of ignoring the many warnings of God, and to turn to Jesus as their Savior and as their leader. It's interesting that in verses 10 and 11, God first speaks to the kings and the leaders of the nations. Then in verse 12, he addresses all people. The kings, the rulers, are fairly warned. No one can say that God did not warn them. They are to serve the Lord. They are to serve the Lord in their earthly leadership. Notice that God does not command these individuals to stop leading, No, he doesn't command them to give up their positions of governing. God does command these leaders to lead in ways that give honor and respect to God. The God-inspired text says in verse 11, quote, "Serve the Lord with fear." And that word fear, of course, means with honor, with respect, with praise, even with worship. Serve the Lord with worship. In the work of leading, do it as an act of worship. This means that God is calling leaders everywhere to repent of their ungodly leadership. The nations of the world have raged against God. They have plotted ways to go around or blatantly disobey God's will. They have plotted ways to go around God's precepts. And they've done this because their leaders have shown them the way. Their leaders have encouraged the people of the nations to ignore God. They've encouraged the people to outright disobey the commands of God. The people are enraged against God mainly because their leaders have incited them to violence against the Almighty. The people of the world, the nations, including their leaders, are ignorant of the things of God because they are determined to follow the wisdom of the world and not the wisdom that comes from God. They profoundly display their ignorance in the way they think, the way they speak, the way they act. They're proud of what they know, proud of their knowledge, but they really know nothing of God and the truth of Jesus Christ. Psalm 2 concludes in a way that echoes the beginnings of Psalm 1. The final verse of Psalm 2 says, "Kiss the Son," capital S, S-O-N, as in Son of God. "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." To call on the nations to kiss the Son is a poetic way of saying, draw near to the Son of God. Draw near to the Messiah. Draw near to Jesus Christ. So, that's the message for us today. Draw near to Jesus, lest a person inherit his wrath rather than his grace. The promise of Psalm 2, verse 12, is that a person will experience God's favor when he or she throws themselves upon Jesus. That word blessed is used, and what that means is to find God's favor, to have God's favor. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Refuge meaning to find comfort, to find care, to find a source of leadership, to allegiance, to be dependent upon. All those who are dependent upon Jesus, all those who look to Jesus for their comfort and care, those who look to Jesus to lead them, those who cast their allegiance to Jesus, all of those kind of people will find God's favor. And it is interesting that Psalm 2 ends in a similar way that Psalm 1 began. In Psalm 1, we are called to meditate upon the Word of God, and when we do that, we'll find blessing, God's favor. In Psalm 2, we're called to take refuge in the living Word of God, to take refuge in Jesus. And when we do that, we'll find blessing, God's favor. So that's it for Psalm 2, a beautiful messianic psalm, and I hope it's been an encouragement to you. Let me pray for you. God, I do pray for those who are listening today. There are those that do need direction. They do need your help. They do need your wisdom. And I pray, Lord, that you would give it to them today. We pray especially for our leaders, wherever they might be, whatever decisions they might be making. So many leaders are in great areas of responsibility, carrying great burdens. We pray, Lord, that you would cause it to be that your wisdom would pour out to them, call on them, cause them, Lord, to draw near to you and seek you, seek your face and seek your wisdom. We all desire to be blessed by you, to find your favor, God. And so I ask that you would cause each one of us today to draw closer to you and find refuge in you, find the comfort and care and the direction that we need for our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. God, I pray for your grace and your mercy to be on all that are listening today and who are considering this Psalm 2. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.